So last week we talked about prayer and I gave you some thoughts from the saints. We read all the catechism introductory, quite beautiful statements about it. Today is a very different day from last week. It's a pause really, because we're praying to God. So in a sense I'm going to ask you to come with me on a philosophical journey. Meaning a profound journey. How profoundly I can do it, I'm not sure. But I want to take you, it's almost like the proofs for the existence of God. So it's as best I can do it, an intelligent, reasonable, mysterious, though, accessing why we're talking about God, why you would pray to God, why God is in communion with us. In other words, I'm arguing against atheism and I'm appealing to your mind and life experience and trying to find words that will account for the fact that we take God so seriously and that it's reasonable to do so. So that's my aim. You'll have to keep your brains totally alert because I could lose you at any moment and I'm just doing my best to keep hold of you. So let's start our journey. Prayer is a response to God. I'm only covering two numbers of the Catechism, 2566 and 2567. And I'm about to read 2566, which reads, "We are in search of God. In the act of creation, God calls every being from nothingness into existence. Crowned with glory and honor," it's a quote from Psalm 8, "we human beings are, after the angels, capable of acknowledging, coming to the knowledge of," again, quote, "how majestic is the name of the Lord in all the earth." And the catechism number continues, "even after losing through sin our likeness to God, we remain an image of our Creator and retain the desire for the one who calls us into existence." Brackets, this is not a quote. So, in other words, even in, let's call it mortal sin, even when we've killed our soul by our behaviour, this is still a fact. We still remain an image of our Creator and we still retain, every single human being retains the desire for the one who calls us into existence. All religion bears witness to our essential search for God. So I'm going to remind you of your search. It'll only make sense to your own experience if it makes sense at all. And of course, I can only find my best words to help you on the journey. Many concepts of God. There are many concepts of God handed down in the intimacy of the family and in the public life of most cultures. Go back to the Aztecs, go into Baghdad, go into a mosque somewhere, go into India, to a temple. You're with me, go to an Aboriginal corroboree. So, concepts, what we actually think in our head when we use the word God or the equivalent word, well, there are many that come down in the home. We probably had quite a lot of differences even among us when we were children, depending on our father's gentleness or, you know, whatever, or our mother's love or psychological problems or what, you know, we're all, okay. These concepts arise from our desire to make some sense of our experience. If the word God and what was arranged around it by way of thoughts had not any connection with our experience, would have died long ago. But something in your experience and mine keeps alive this word and this variety of thoughts. Now, some concepts express true insight and stand up to careful investigation. I'd like to suggest that what Aileen said 2 minutes ago makes sense and stands up to my life experience. Others are the result of oversight, and they express a misunderstanding that upon careful reflection should be rejected. You with me still? Jesus says, it was said to you of old, but I say to you. A lot of the concepts surrounding the word Yahweh, or God, El Elohim in Hebrew, in that culture, a lot of the concepts that people thought, oh God, and they thought this, they were wrong. They were coming out of human fear or projection or a whole lot of things. And similarly, in your training and my training and in Ireland and in Italy and all over the place. So, if we find accurate and inaccurate concepts in all other areas of human thinking, we should not be surprised to find that concepts of God not only vary from culture to culture and from person to person, but that they represent a mixture of insights into reality, and oversights. We're missing reality. Understanding and misunderstanding. After all, our concepts of God aim to express our most profound insights into what reality ultimately is. That's what religion purports to deal with. Okay. No human concepts can encompass God. How can this poor 10-watt brain contain everything? It's like you look at the sun, you go blind. If you try and conceive God, well, you go mad. The best we can do is to choose between contrary concepts, the one that expresses better our experience and so points us better towards what will remain mysterious, beyond conception. So people differ markedly in the meanings and values that they associate with the term God. Because God is not just another thing or the sum of all things, certain forms of Buddhism conceive God as no thing. Not nothing, but no thing. Because of the experience of relating to God in personal ways, Jews, Hindus, Christians, Muslims, and many others conceive God in personal terms. Terms that come from our interrelationship as human beings with each other. Now, in recent centuries, every concept of God has come under increasing suspicion. There was a time when the existence of lightning was taken as proof of the existence of the sky god Zeus, and when the powerful, irrational feelings that seemed to take over our psyche were judged to be the result of the action of vengeful supernatural beings. There was a time when victory in war was understood as proof of divine approval, while defeat demonstrated divine disapproval. The Old Testament scriptures are full of it. Jerusalem is destroyed. What did we do wrong? We won the battle. Aren't we great? God must be happy with us because he's leading our armies. While defeat, for good reasons, such misconceptions have been rejected. Not yet by everybody, but for God's sake, they should have been rejected. Because they're baloney. But they keep popping up, wishful thinking. The rejection, however, has gone so far that today God appears to be, to some people, to be nothing more than a category invented to cover whatever we do not yet understand. And when we finally understand everything, we can dispose of this idea of God, because it's just filling the gap, and more knowledge will gradually eliminate it and narrow the field. And when we become really smart, then of course, and some people are smart already, so the concept of God's just gone out the back door. It's as a stupidity or whatever. With the methodical and cumulative acquisition of knowledge in many areas, some argue that the very idea of God is a leftover from a now unacceptable naivety. How are you going? Still with me? I'm asking you to hold on to every little brain you've got. Now, there's no doubt that certain conceptions of God are clearly erroneous, and I'll run it through by you, and you see if you agree with me. People rightly reject a God who's envisaged as an extra, existing outside the world, outside history, outside experience, controls things from the outside, as it were, and is directly responsible for whatever happens, intervening in our history at will or in answer to prayer understood as a magical power. I hope you've all rejected that idea, but if you have, you're a rare species, because a good percentage of the world would still have such an image. But I think reason requires me, at any rate, and I hope you, to reject it, because it's a phony. The history of religious practice in earlier times, and still in our own day, frequently reveals a so-called God who's glorified at the expense of humanity. My soul magnifies God, magnify, 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 as if God needed magnifying, for God's sake. And the higher God is, the worse we are. So you put everyone else down, so God will look good. I don't know. It exists. Some people seem to feel the need to put humanity down in order to raise God up. What is more, this God seems in large measure to be a projection of human need and human wishful thinking, or human avoidance of the harshness of reality. So rather than face reality, we escape into this strange place to God, but by avoiding the reality, avoiding the reality of my priesthood or my marriage or my children or my family. So I escape somewhere into a nice place where God is there without dealing with the reality. I hope I'm not being too hard here, but anyhow, I'll keep going and you can shoot me down later. Rather than face up to reality, we seem to want to invent the kind of God to whom we can escape. Rather than face the here and now and do what we can about it, we seem to want to escape to a hereafter where everything will be as we wish things were here. There's no point, I think, in speaking of any God who doesn't require of us that we face the whole truth of our real limits, but also the real greatness of being human. Any serious inquiry about God must be one that leads to a better understanding of and communion with our actual selves and our real world. We're rightly suspicious of a God who serves to support vested interests. We still hear God being used to support the ideology of military and economic victors over the vanquished. It's been going on ever since Christianity started, or at least ever since Constantine allowed Christianity to become a tool of the state. We still experience the rich and the learned and those in possession of power of all kinds speaking and acting in the name of God when they are seen to be propping up their own position. I'm not talking about priests, of course. Don't ever think that we would do this. But I mean, the others are doing it. I mean, it's a danger anywhere, and you see it everywhere. Such a God is constantly being discredited. Look at the God who supported apartheid in South Africa. Look at the God who supported Aborigines being slaughtered in Australia. Look at the God in Spain who was of the opinion that the people in South America were not actually human and didn't have a soul. And they debated it. Dominicans and Franciscans and Jesuits having a great old debate about the whole thing. What on earth are we talking about? Well, so enough evidence. I could run on, but I don't need to. Who can take seriously a God who supports apartheid, patriarchy? Hypocritical piety? Or a refusal to accept tried and tested facts in any sphere? What kind of a God supports fundamentalism? The world was created in 7 days because God said it. It's in the Bible. What on earth is going on? God didn't write the Bible, I have to tell you. Somebody did. A lot of people had bits of it. But God doesn't actually write. So people in their response to God write, and they're partly right and partly wrong, and they're using literature which we haven't even bothered to understand, so we take it all literally when it actually it's more like Shakespeare it is than someone's diary. Are you with me? But there are millions of people in the world, millions and millions of people in the world, and mostly in a certain part of the world, and they tour all around the place, who, for power, take the Bible literally when it suits them. So, the treatment meted out to Galileo in the name of God is more common than we might dare to admit. And it hasn't stopped. If there is value in talking about God at all, obviously I think there is some value, I wouldn't be giving this particular lecture, but that's an if. It can only be about a God in which everything participates. If you're racist, then your God's phony. So give it away. I mean, scrap it. Become an atheist, get rid of the junk, and then start exploring. And you might find a beautiful God. Won't be racist. Won't be any of these things. So everything participates in God, so every human being has a value. Every person that comes anywhere near you has something to tell you about God. Muslim, Christian, fundamentalist. We're not talking about the person, we're talking about the brain, the mindset that's been locked into a good person. So let's communicate, let's respect each other. Not respect each other's views, we have to argue about those, but the person, yes. A God who supports the intrinsic and inalienable dignity of everything that exists. A God of truth and a God of justice. So if God isn't about that, well, there isn't a God. So let's all go home and get on, make life as best we can. Freud, who had a big influence on all of this, he worked with people with seriously dysfunctional psyches. People like us. We're all a bit dysfunctional, I imagine. But he did. He worked with people with seriously dysfunctional psyches. So some of their religious attitudes were little more than a jumble of infantile illusions. That's what he was dealing with for the large part. His findings alert us to the need to ask ourselves, how free am I from such infantile illusions? Let's be committed to name them as such when we're fortunate or diligent enough to discover them. And that's a life journey. I hope you won't stop helping me to get rid of mine, so that by the time I come to die, wouldn't it be wonderful to be free of illusions when you're dying and open to God? Any claim we might make to relate to God is worthless if our relationship fails to draw us on to maturity. It's drawing us on. We're not there yet. By clarifying our identity, deepening our intimacy, enlarging our capacity for generating the love that provides the only environment in which we and others can grow. So if God isn't about that, then it is a concept we could well drop. I hope I'm not saying too much. You still with me? Now it's clear that all our concepts of God are precisely our concepts. They're human stuff. They enjoy, therefore, all the strengths of human intelligence and imagination, but they also necessarily suffer from all the weaknesses. In recent centuries, some have gone beyond criticizing incorrect conceptions to reject any and every conception of God as unnecessary, unhelpful, irrelevant to genuine human living and progress in knowledge. And they're pretty rampant at the moment in our world, such intelligent people. Others, however, in our world, while granting the need for constant refinement of our concepts of God, individually and as a community, hold that the claim that God exists cannot be written off simply as human projection and distortion. They hold that the claim is based on an authentic, if often unreflective, response to real human experience, and that there's a reality, albeit one upon which we cast our projections and which we distort. So it's there, and our conceptions of it are wobbly, but there is something real that we're talking about when we talk about God and that we're in communion with when we pray. They see it as a fundamental and serious error to discard the real God along with our distorted conceptions.